swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible. Mrs. Wakefield, please.
Hello?
Kate.
Hello, Tony.
Sorry to bother you so early at the office, but I had to reach you. When are you leaving for Belhaven?
Right after work.
What train?
The 543. Oh, Tony, don't come to the station.
Kate, I've got to see you before you leave. I'll be in the lobby of your building at 4:45. Bye, honey.
Good morning, Tony.
Oh, morning, Hugh. I didn't see you come in.
Obviously. Do you have a few minutes?
Do I have a choice, sir?
I saw your wife last night.
Oh, come on, Hugh. Claire is not my wife, and you know it.
You have a talent for overlooking the legality.
She walked out 3 years ago. For 2 years before that, we were married in name only. She was otherwise occupied.
Weren't you?
Yeah, building your business for you. Damn it, you, what's this all about?
For a smart boy, you can be a fool, Tony. Any man would give a lot for the arrangement you have.
Well, be my guest.
Oh, no. Marriage is a woman's game, not mine. But I've known Claire a long time. I've seen her turn herself into a smart, entertaining woman who knows what she wants. That I can admire.
Yeah, so what else is new?
The contracts came from Paris. They look great except for that one option.
Good.
That is not in our favor.
It was all I could get.
Then go back and try again.
It won't work, you.
It's an order.
Okay. I'll take another plane ride. Next week.
What's the matter with tonight?
I promised Holly Benson I would go to their 15th wedding anniversary party, and I'm going. I may surprise you, Hugh, but I've got a sentimental streak. If you dig deep enough.
Thank God I haven't. All right, the first of next week.
Right.
Taking the new girl to the Bensons, the one from Belhaven?
How the devil did you know about her? Oh, sure. Right. That one weekend when you had to know where I was going. You never forget anything, do you?
Claire is curious.
Well, then tell her.
Information is power, Tony. I accumulate it, but I never give it away.
Yes? Who? Oh, we'll send her in.
Give Claire my regards.
Claire? At this hour of the morning, she doesn't finish listing her expenses until noon.
Tony, darling,
Hello, Holly.
Oh, you. I've stuck the jackpot. All the best.
Good morning, Holly.
Hugh, it's really naughty of you not to come to our anniversary party.
I never go to parties.
But you could bring Claire and all our little problems would be solved.
I do not find that amusing or tempting.
It's going to be a real winding.
I can imagine. Nice to see you, Holly. Tony, give me your flight time Monday.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think that guy was weaned on a pickle.
You should work for him.
Tony, you're a big shot, making scads of money, but is it worth it?
I'm beginning to wonder. Well, what can I do for you, Holly?
I shouldn't have barged in at this hour, but I'm about to drive up to the country, you know, to get ready for the Benson Blast. And I just had to see you.
Any time.
You are coming to the party.
I gave you my word.
I have to tell you, Tony, I did ask Claire.
Well, I expected that.
She said no, and then she called me this morning. She's got the idea that you have a girl, and she was asking questions.
Holly, really, I've got a busy day.
Oh, I know, and if this were any old party, I wouldn't care. I might even find it amusing, but this is our wedding anniversary, and, well, this is my last, but I'm really silly about it.
Well, you should be.
I want it to go right. Oh, I wish that Claire were in Timbuktu this minute.
She probably will be sometime next week. Okay, so she's coming to your party. I expected it. I can handle it.
She's coming to meet your new girl. I thought I ought to warn you.
Thanks. I'm not bringing any new girl.
Oh, Tony, I thought you said that you...
I haven't said anything, Holly. I don't know how this kind of thing gets around.
But you were seen, Tony. You know our crowd. Don't you remember? At the Bell and Bottle, near Belhaven. I hear she's very attractive.
Holly, is that all?
Yes. except for one thing.
Excuse me. Yes? Hold it a second, will you? Holly, this is from the coast.
All right, dear, I'm going. Tony, if you want, bring her, will you? We'd love to meet her.
Kate, time to quit. Boss hates overtime.
I'm catching a train. I have time.
Going home?
Yep. I'm going back to Bellhaven. I haven't been back for a while.
All your family there?
Just my sister and her husband.
And their children.
All I have. Except my mother in Florida.
You lost your husband, didn't you?
Yeah, nearly 3 years ago.
Well, that's he must have been young.
He wasn't 30. He disappeared off a sailboat. No, it's strange. I don't think about those days too much.
You shouldn't. You've got to go on.
I do. But I was looking at that booklet we got out. Pictures of all the big estates we
have. Uh-huh.
I came across a name that just jumped at me.
Which one is that?
Glory Point, down in Jamaica.
Isn't that some place? It's listed, but one day they want to sell it and the next day they don't. You been there?
Oh, I didn't even know there was a house there. I just remember there's a point of land my husband and I used to sail around so often.
Oh, took me back. I guess that's one place you'll never want to go to.
I might. Someday again. Well, let's get out of here, June. I have to make a train.
Have a nice time, Kate.
You too.
Bellhaven, track 8, miss.
Oh, thank you.
Kate?
Tony.
I got stuck at the office. Missed you in the lobby of your building, so I came over here to the station.
You didn't have to bother.
Oh, it's like that.
No, it isn't, Tony, but you're busy. This must be a terrible rush for
you. It's the only thing that's mattered to me all day. Now, where can we talk?
There isn't time.
There's 15 minutes.
I've got to make this train.
There's another one at 7.
No, I told Mrs. Jessup I'd be on this one, and I can't disappoint her. I've done it too often.
Even for an hour? Okay, forget it. I won't pressure you. Kate, there's a lot between us, I know.
Things have changed, Tony.
Are you still angry with me because I didn't tell you about Claire?
No, I'm not. You've told me what kind of marriage you have. Maybe I should have asked long ago.
Well, maybe I should have told you long ago. Meeting you, seeing each other as we did, just having fun, I felt like a kid. I didn't want to think about the past. I suppose I knew that someday I'd have to.
But it isn't past, Tony. You have a wife, and she's here in town. You saw her last night.
Do you know why?
That's not my business.
But it is, damn it. I want it to be. Claire wanted to see me for one simple reason. A 20% increase in her allowance to cover the cost of
living.
Tony,
please, I don't want to hear all this.
Okay. But you'd understand, I know, if you'd met her.
I can't think of anything worse.
And if she met you, she'd understand.
Understand what?
That I'm not going to give you up.
I don't want to meet her, Tony. I'm going to Bellhaven and get my head together.
You mean the way I found you?
Oh, no. I've come a long way from that.
You bet you have. We've had fun, Kate. Now, don't forget that. I'm a dominating son of a gun, and you're a stubborn girl, and we've had our differences. But we have a good time now, don't we?
We do.
Okay. If it's over, you've got to tell me.
Tony, I'm going to miss my train.
You know it isn't over, Kate. You know it hasn't even begun for us. Now, listen to me. I'm going up to an anniversary party. My friends, the Bensons. I want you to come with me.
No, Tony.
Don't answer now. I'll call you.
No way, Tony.
It's the only way I can make you understand what I'm up against.
Bye, Tony.
Just a minute.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Sincere felicitations, dear listeners. Vanity Fair's author, William Makepeace Thackeray, bids you good day. The weather has turned fine, and I am in fine fettle, as is our heroine, Miss Becky Sharp. And why not? Outside Lady Crawley's small sitting room, is she not clasped in the arms of Captain Rawdon Crawley? Dear, dear, are there those among you murmuring, 'Twould be more seemly were Miss Sharp not so easily won? Tut! Surely you know, 'tis an undoubted fact, Becky cares not for convention. She does as she pleases, and she pleases to be in the young guardsman's arms. No, wait a moment. They have moved apart.
Oh, no, go now.
Not yet.
Oh, you must.
I cannot.
Anyone might come along the corridor. Sir Pitt, Miss Crawley, a servant.
Let them, all of them.
And ruin everything. Oh, I implore you, go.
I will. But what am I to say to Aunt Matilda?
That I will dine with Lady Crawley, will not dine with her.
Dine with me is what you will not.
Oh, dear Rawdon, I said why. You look as you look now.
How can I not?
Exactly. So please, will you go? Oh, footsteps. No. Oh, but you must go. Tonight in the orangery, we'll be together with no fear of footsteps.
What time?
All is quiet by 10. Wait half an hour, then... Oh, someone is coming.
Blast.
Step back.
My father.
And, Captain, tell Miss Crawley I feel bound to dine with her ladyship. I've sent word to the kitchen that two meals are to be brought here, and Sir Pitt!
Rawdon, begun. Becky, Matilda says... She says... can't remember.
You're drunk.
Told you, be gone. Becky, dinner. Can't eat dinner, you're not there.
Whether I'm there or not, Sir Pitt, I doubt you're in condition to eat.
Huh? Why not?
You've had an unwonted allowance of spirit, sir.
Gad, no right to speak to a lady. You're drunk as a lord.
Baronet, I'm a baronet. Sir Pitt Crawley.
Sir Fool.
Speak respectful to your father, you young pup.
Both of you go along. And Sir Pitt, no more spirits.
Spirits? Spirits? Her ladyship at it again.
You know very well her ladyship never takes a drop of anything.
He means my stepmother sometimes thinks she sees the Queen's Crawley ghost.
Queen's Crawley has a ghost?
No, won't have it.
It hasn't?
No.
Miss Rebecca, for centuries the manor is said to have a ghost.
Of course, every respectable house in England has its ghost.
No, won't have it.
Afraid of it, aren't you, old man?
Go to the devil, you young snapper whipper.
Preferably go to dinner. Captain Rawdon, you must tell me about the ghost sometime.
Pleasure, Miss Sharp.
Pleasure, Miss Sharp. That's a lie, sir. You don't like Miss Sharp. Got no brains in your skull, eh? No son of mine.
Now, Sir Pitt, that is sufficient. The captain and I are as friendly as we wish to be.
So we are.
But I'll not be friendly with either of you unless you leave at once.
Come, Papa.
No. Go and see me wife. Ain't seen her for, a month.
You saw her yesterday.
That's so. Capital. Not obliged to see her but once a week.
Well, I am obliged to see her now. And I'll be obliged if you both will go.
They go. Sir Pitt in the misty world of drink, Rawdon in the misty world of love, and in yet another misty world of the mind, Lady Crawley has heard voices outside her door.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Rollon antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray for application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Rollon will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Rollon will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Rollon, so economical, yet so effective.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Well, then, we have heard talk of a ghost. Idle talk, surely. I hold no brief for phantoms, ghouls, specters, spooks, apparitions. Do you? However, Becky was quite right. English houses of ancient vintage, more often than not, have a resident ghost. As for a Queen's Crawley shade, I can say only this. On a moonless night, her poor ladyship is so wraith-like, she might seem one of that company. Let us go now into her chambers. Wait. Becky must knock.
Lady Crawley? Oh, she can't be out. She's never out. Ill? Truly ill? I'll just peep inside. Your ladyship? Oh, where can she be? Lady Crawley. Why are you behind the sofa?
Hiding.
From me?
No. Oh, no.
From Sir Pitt?
No.
From whom?
Her. She'll come now.
Miss Crawley? Oh, no, no, no. She won't dream of coming at the dinner hour. You know how she likes her dinner.
Oh, not Matilda. Her. The ghost.
Oh, dear Lady Crawley, there isn't a ghost.
There is, there is. I heard Sir Pitty talked of her.
He was joking. We all were. Oh, come. Let me help you out.
No. When anyone talks of her, she comes.
Will she come soon?
Yes.
Then I'll stay with you so you needn't be afraid. Now, will you get up now?
If you sit with me.
As long as you like. I promise. That's right. We'll sit here on the sofa.
Do you hear her?
No. Do you, Lady Crawley?
Not yet.
When she comes, do you only hear her or do you see her?
I see her.
Who is she, your ladyship? Do you know?
Oh, yes.
Oh, tell me.
Sir Pitt's first wife. She
She don't want me in her house. She wants me dead, like her.
Lady Crawley, will you trust me and listen to me?
I'm listening for her.
This house is 500 years old. There's been talk of a ghost for hundreds of years. If there is a ghost, and I truly don't believe there is, he, she, or it is hundreds of years old and can't be the first Lady Crawley wanting you gone from this house.
Sir Pitt said it was her. He said it.
Sir Pitt told you that?
He sees her. He knows.
He does not see her.
I do. I do.
But not now, for she hasn't come. Has she?
Not yet.
Because I've made her go away. I have, Lady Crawley. If she exists, she's afraid of Becky Sharp.
Do you think so?
Oh, I know it.
Are you certain?
You said she would come at once. She hasn't come at all.
She's very sly. She's waiting for you to go.
Then we shall fool her, shan't we? For I won't go.
Oh.
Now come, your ladyship. You must lie down.
Oh, you won't leave me?
We're dining together right here, you and I. And then we'll talk and talk. And I shan't leave until you're sound asleep. You have my promise. Now, will you come?
Yes. Oh, yes, whatever you say. How good you are, Miss Rebecca.
No, I am not good. Did you hear? I heard nothing but the rustle of your gown and our soft footsteps on your rose garlanded carpet. Oh, my, what a pretty carpet it is. Look at it, your ladyship.
Yes, it is. I don't notice such things.
Then you'll lie on your bed, and together we'll notice all the pretty things in your room. Yes, your ladyship?
Yes, Miss Rebecca.
I am not good, said Rebecca. Can you not see? All of us in one way or another are haunted. Tomorrow, dear listeners, I shall await you here, for I have the honor to be your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oceder makes your life easier.
Julie, I haven't tapped it. It's been years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the cross is startled.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
Author's Studio has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Nothing in the mail today but bills, bills, bills. Boy, I don't know where the money's coming from.
Yes, there is.
There is what?
Something besides bills. There's a letter from Aunt Maggie.
Oh, what'd she have to say?
I don't know yet. It's full of newspaper clippings as usual. Picture of a bride here.
Who?
Mrs. Hammond J. Walker, the former Betsy Gordon.
Well, who's that?
Just a minute. Aunt Maggie's written along the side. This is Alice Vance's granddaughter. She went to school with Ruth Edwards' niece, the one I told you married the nephew of Mr. Miles at the bank.
You know any of them?
No.
Why does Aunt Maggie always send us clippings of people we never even heard of?
Oh, hold on, Miss Moore. Her wedding picture does not flatter. She's much prettier, Miss. I don't know why brides wear glasses when they have their pictures taken.
I don't know why Aunt Maggie worries about this thing.
Here's a clipping of a casserole recipe, and that says, I tried this, but leave out the nutmeg. Oh, and here's a long clipping on the county fair. A whole page. Oh, here's her picture.
What's it say?
Picture of Aunt Maggie holding up one of her pies. I bet you want a blue ribbon again.
That's great.
No, it's not. It says Mrs. Mildred Gavin and her prize-winning rhubarb pie.
Uh-oh. Got the name wrong?
Oh.
Aunt Maggie must have plenty to say about that.
Just a minute. She scribbled on the margin. Those idiots at the newspaper. I marched right down to the newspaper office and gave them a piece of my mind.
She should have given them a piece of her pie.
Oh, that's cute. Now, she says they put a correction in the next day, which I've also enclosed.
Where's the correction?
Oh, well, I don't know. Wait until I find it. I opened a letter from Aunt Maggie, the snowfall of newspaper clippings.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's something dropped on the floor.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, correction.
What's it say?
It was reported in yesterday's Chronicle that Mrs. Mildred Gavin won first prize with her rhubarb pie. It was Miss Margaret Sorensen who won the first prize for rhubarb pie and also first prize for her apricot peach preserves. Mrs. Mildred Gavin did not win any prizes.
Mrs. Gavin, whoever she is, must be furious. I can see Aunt Maggie's fine hand in that.
Fine hand and silvery tongue.
Vinegar tongue in this piece, I'm sure. Let's see what else she sent.
We can look at the clippings later. What's she saying in her letter?
Oh, yeah. Well, as you can see, I started this letter a month ago, but I've been so busy with canning. Especially with a shortage of canning lids all summer. But I thought I'd better let you know that I finally decided to accept your invitation.
What invitation?
You're always saying, why don't I come for Christmas? So the other day I said to myself, why don't I?
Hey, that's great.
Yes. Then I said to myself, whenever somebody comes for Christmas, there's always a lot of extra work, so I better get there earlier so I can help, since the whole family always gathers at your place.
That's good. Aunt Maggie's always a big help. All the work won't fall on you. What's the matter?
So then I said to myself, what is earlier? What with all the Christmas cookies to make and all, I thought December 1st.
Well, that's okay with you, isn't it?
Then I thought, well, if I'm getting there that early, I might just as well come a bit earlier and be there for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving?
And then I thought, as long as
Come on, don't mumble. Read it out loud. I can't read your handwriting.
Then I thought, as long as I'm coming for Thanksgiving, and it's such a long way to come, and so expensive, that I would come even earlier, sort of send her at your house, but visit some of my old friends, such as Maddie. Let me skim through this and see what she's leading up to.
It'd be good to see Aunt Maggie. She hasn't been here for 2 years, you know that? Oh, boy, look at the time. Hurry up. I've got to get to work.
She's arriving tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
And she just lets us know today?
She spent extra money to send the letter airmail, so we'll be sure to get it.
Yeah, but for Pete's sake, what if we hadn't been here?
She's coming by plane, flight 13, if we can meet her at the airport.
What airport?
She doesn't say. Honestly, she's so vague about details that matter, and then goes on forever about things that nobody cares about.
Honestly, we'd better get her on the phone.
Honey, Montana, day rates. Why don't we wait until tonight?
Now. We're calling her now.
Darling, she'll rattle on forever about a million
things.
We are calling her now.
I want to know exactly what her plans are. Chances are she'll have to change at O'Hare Airport, and the thought of Aunt Maggie alone in that Chicago airport...
Oh, dear. Why do you suppose she suddenly decided to come by plane when she always comes by bus?
Who knows?
She's always said she'd never go up in a plane.
I know. Let's get her on the phone.
Yes. Now, Aunt Maggie, listen. We just got your letter this morning. Just now, but you didn't give us the details, dear.
I sent the letter airmail. Of course, I know they say that most of the letters go airmail anyhow these days, but I spent the extra money so you'd be sure to get the letter in time.
Yes, we got the letter, Aunt Maggie.
Actually, airmail is 13 cents for an ounce, but but I put in all those clippings for you so it weighed more than an ounce, which makes me kind of mad at the post office because I had to spend an
hour. Aunt Maggie, we want to know when and where you're arriving.
But here. I wrote it all in the letter, dear. That's why I sent it airmail.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but you just said you were coming by plane, Flight 13. Which airline and which airport?
I thought I wrote all that down in the letter.
No, dear, you didn't.
Now, just a minute. It's all in my pocketbook. I've got the airline envelope in that. I put it in my pocketbook so I'd know I had it.
Uh-huh.
I thought, honestly, wouldn't it be just like me to get to the airport here and not have my ticket?
Yes. Aunt Maggie, get your ticket out of your purse, dear.
Well, first I have to find my purse. Hold on.
I'm holding on, dear.
What in Sam Hill is she talking about? All she has to tell us is
she has to find the airline ticket in her purse.
Well, since it's 4 hours to the New York airport and 2 hours to Bradley, yeah, I hope she's headed for Bradley.
Well, it doesn't take 2 hours for us to get to Bradley. Carl Wittig makes it in an hour and a half. He goes some back way or something.
What is Aunt Maggie doing?
First, she has to find her pocketbook and then find her ticket.
Doesn't she realize it's long distance?
Of course she realizes it's long distance. There's a time difference, you know. I got her out of bed.
You did? Usually she's up at 4:30 prowling around whenever she's here.
Well, she's getting older, dear. Probably needs more sleep.
Hello.
Yes, yes, I'm right here, Aunt Maggie.
Well, I can't find my pocketbook. I thought I left it on the dining room table, and it's gone.
Now, I'm sure you just said it somewhere else and forgot, dear.
No, I remember putting it right on the dining room table. Oh, my goodness. You think somebody broke in here last night when I was sleeping?
No, 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 I don't think anybody broke in. Aunt Maggie, listen.
I have locks on all my doors.
Well, Aunt Maggie, go look under your pillow. Now, you may have put it there. You put.
Yes, that's where I put it. Hold on.
She put it under her pillow?
Yes, I think so.
You know, I love Aunt Maggie, but the thought of going through all this for the next 2 months...
She's not here yet, and if she has to change in Chicago, she may wind up in Montreal, knowing Aunt Maggie.
I'm sorry about this. She's my aunt. She makes work for you.
No, she doesn't. I just love having her around.
Hello?
I'm still on. I'm right here, Aunt Maggie.
I can't find my airline ticket. Oh, now I know I put it in my pocketbook.
Well, now, don't get excited here. Did you go to the store?
Yes, I was out all day buying last-minute things. I must have dropped it out of my pocketbook.
No, Aunt Maggie... Now, I'm sure you decided not to take your airline ticket with you when you went shopping. I mean, that's what I would have decided, you know? And I'm sure you did the same thing.
Oh, yes.
She lost the airline ticket.
Now, where would you have put it to hide it, Aunt Maggie?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Aunt Maggie, would you have hidden it under a mattress, maybe, or under a rug?
No, because I remember reading someplace that burglars always look there the first thing. No, let me think.
Yes, well... Let's see now.
Tell her to find it, call us back, and reverse the charges. We could be on the phone to Montana all day.
And Maggie, could you put it in the turkey roaster?
Hmm?
Well, no. How about under the plastic tray that has your kitchen knives and forks? You once said you often put things under there.
Yes! I think that's where it is.
Now, go look.
How do you remember these things? I told Amy Harris the other day, I said...
Now, dear, you want to look for the ticket, Aunt Maggie? This is long distance.
Oh, yes. Right away. Oh, long distance. Yes.
You know, you are really incredible the way you put up with all this. She's driving me crazy already, and she isn't even here. And now we're going to have her until Christmas.
Oh, honey, it'll be nice. Be nice to see. I think she's lonesome, you know, living alone. I'm glad she's staying. But, you know, taking a plane when she's always sat up for 3 nights on a bus, I wonder why. Well, we'll find out when she gets here.
If she gets here.
Oh, she
will. Hello.
Yes, I'm right here.
You're right. I found the airline ticket.
Oh, good. She found the ticket.
Oh, but now I can't find my glasses, so I can't read it.
Oh, she can't find her glasses, so she can't read it.
Let me have the phone.
Let me have it.
Well, hello, dear.
Hello.
Oh, hello. My goodness, Bob, so good to hear your voice.
Find your glasses, look at the ticket, and when I get to the office, I will call you on the hotline.
The what, dear?
The what's line. Oh, never mind. We'll call you tonight at 8 o'clock sharp. Your time, Aunt Maggie.
All right. I'll be here. Now hang up. My goodness, it's long distance.
She hung up. I wonder if everyone has an Aunt Maggie.
Well, if they don't, I feel sorry for them. Now go to work, dear, while I make up the guest room.
If I had a nickel for every minute I spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold.
Thanks for meeting me here, Cora.
This is a real nice park, Marsh, but we could have talked on the telephone.
Oh, I know, but Ginger's at Betsy's school now, seeing her teacher, and I thought, well, maybe you might like to get out.
I don't like going behind Ginger's back. She is my sister.
I appreciate your loyalty, Cora, and I'm not going to say a thing I haven't already said to Ginger.
Well, then I don't see why.
No, wait a minute. I know. I know you care about her.
Ginger hasn't had an easy time of it, and I won't say that some of it isn't her own fault. She's always wanted so much.
Well, she's also given so much, too, Cora. I mean, you know she worked my last year at Johns Hopkins, and even while I was an intern, I might not have made it as a doctor if it hadn't been for her.
She always believed in you.
Maybe she expected too much.
Wanting her husband to be a real husband and not go chasing after every pretty skirt isn't wanting too much.
Do you really think that about me, Cora?
Well, if you can't explain to Ginger, don't expect me to see things your way. I've been hearing about these open marriages. It's just a weasel word for a marriage that's chock full of holes.
Well, okay, but I do want to explain what happened at Billings Hospital.
Ginger says that's where it started.
I know she does, but nothing happened at Billings, Cora. There was a young resident doctor there, Phoebe. She was engaged to a doctor in the Army. And for some reason, Ginger convinced herself that I was in love with her.
Now, why would she do that if you weren't?
Oh, well, if you could give me the answer to that, Cora.
Why did you leave Billings then?
Well, you see, after months of fights and arguments, and after I don't know how many nights spent in the guest room, and after Ginger went to see Dr. Keller.
She told me she did that. I couldn't believe it at first. Taking your family problems to a stranger.
Well, Keller was happy to see her.
Why was that?
Well, he didn't like me. Not for any reason I know of. I didn't really like him either. It was, I don't know, it was just one of those things.
You sound like two feisty hound dogs.
Well, sort of. Only at Billings, you see, he was top dog. And after Ginger told him her story based on what she'd imagined, he told me that either Phoebe or I should leave.
And you let him make you the goat.
Well, I couldn't let Phoebe take the blame for nothing, Cora. Nothing but Ginger's jealousy. It just would have been unfair.
No, Ginger thinks it's true.
Well, I suppose I should have fought it right then, but I knew Keller believed Ginger, and it could have become a mark on Phoebe's record. I mean, who knows? It could have ruined her marriage.
Ginger says now that you're, that Angela Fairchild.
Yes, she does. But don't you see, it's the same story over again. Only this time, there's no Keller for her to go to.
And Miss Fairchild?
Cora, she's a nurse at Jefferson. She's a fine person.
I see. You like her. You, like
Yes,
her.
Yes. Yes, Cora. I like her.
His name is Charlie? Jennifer, honey, are you sure it's a he? Oh, well, Mrs. Bailey should know since she's the kitten lady for the whole neighborhood. Yes, dear, I'll be home tomorrow. Oh, and your Aunt Angela just walked in, and she's blown you a kiss. I missed you too, honey. Tomorrow for sure. And I'll tell you all about the cabin. Right. Bye, dear.
Jennifer can't figure out how a weekend at the cabin put you back in the hospital.
Well, if she finds out, I hope she tells me.
How are you feeling?
Like an imposter. I think I should be home.
Oh, come on. Why don't you just pretend you extended your visit to the cabin for a day or two?
Angela, aren't we a little old for let's pretend?
Emily, I know nothing more than you do.
Well, status quo is no answer.
You didn't get around to telling Jason about the increasing numbness in your hands.
Oh, I was going to do it on the way home, and well, then I got the headache.
I told Marsh and Jason last night, and I had plenty to answer for.
Well, I'm sorry, honey. I shouldn't have put you in that spot.
Did the weekend at the cabin mean that much to you?
Yes, it did. It did to me, and I think to Jason, too.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Did you know that a 1.5 ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Hey, Emily, did you know Lynn is back from Zurich?
Alone?
Nope, she got a guy.
Oh, Robert must be in a state.
Oh, several, I think. Caroline called this morning to find out how you are, and she says Robert's personal jury on Curtis Rogers is still out.
Well, when are we going to meet him?
Caroline's planning something, and it, well, it all depends on you.
Well, what does she need?
She wants to know you'll be there.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it. And I want to have them over as soon as I can.
Now, don't rush, Em. There's plenty of time.
Is there any word from Bobby?
No mail, and he didn't call.
My family seems to do quite well on their own, don't they?
How is Susie?
Oh, we finished a jumper, and she's very happy about it. And how is the Marsh situation?
Well, I was wondering when you'd get around to that.
Well, there is something to tell, then?
Well, only that he doesn't believe my avoiding him makes any sense, and when I tell him now to go and work things out with his wife, he says he's trying.
Angela, you're not going to leave.
I don't want to go.
Then don't, Angela, don't.
I suppose if I did go, Ginger would look on that as an admission that I had done something wrong, that I had been involved with Marsh.
Angela, I just hate to think of what would happen to us all if you'd left.
Oh, come on now.
No, I mean it. Jennifer counts on those quiet overnights with you, and Bobby knows you're good for all kinds of fast mending services.
Oh, sure.
Susie, she might feel differently.
It's just her age, Angela. Please bear with her.
And bear with me, will you?
Oh, now that's the tough one.
And Jason, I don't think you have any idea of how much he depends on you.
In London? All right, just tell him that Dr. Marshall Foster called, and when he returns, I'd like to see him. Yes, it is urgent. Listen, and if Dr. Szabo needs it... Well, all right, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sure he is. Yes, thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, you wanted to see me, Marsh?
Yes, I did, Angela. Will you close the door?
I've just been to see Emily.
How is she?
I think she's worried.
Well, she certainly must have been when she extracted that promise from you.
Look, I explained last night why I didn't tell Jason.
Wait, that doesn't excuse you for not telling me.
Well, you would have told Jason.
How do you know that?
I did what I thought was right, Ma.
Angela, are you really sure of that? Or were you so caught up in avoiding me that you were willing to risk Emily's health?
That's not true.
All right, then. Think back to when we were on friendlier terms. Would you have told me then?
Marsh, you're just not being fair.
You're damn right I'm not. When a patient is involved, I have no tolerance for hair splitting or being what you call fair.
I care as much as you do about Emily's health.
Then for God's sake and Emily's, don't hold back vital information.
Marsh.
Now look, now wait a minute. Look, if you don't want to see me, at least get the information to me somehow.
Marsh, what do you think is the matter with Emily?
I don't know.
Last night, Jason hinted that you might have some idea.
No, I didn't tell him that.
Well, he certainly didn't pull it out of the air.
Angela, it's too early to speculate.
Well, you are thinking of something. I know you well enough to know that.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
To Have and to Hold features Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily, William Redfield as Marsh, Patricia Wheel as Angela, Robert Phelps as Kurt, Rosemary Rice as Lynn, and Ian Morton. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Mary Dornheim, and brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.